is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show. Good morning, everybody. This is BJ with Just Stuff. I am glad that you were able to join us today. My guest today is Mrs. Sandra Johnson. I will now let her introduce herself to you. Mrs. Johnson.
Good morning, BJ. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sandra Johnson. I'm a registered nurse. I am certified in critical care nursing. And I have 37 years of experience at the bedside taking care of critically ill patients. And as of now, I am an assistant professor of nursing at Northwestern State University College of Nursing here in Louisiana. And I have 20 years of teaching experience there at the college. So I am so happy and so thankful to be able to talk to you this morning about heart disease among women.
And that will be our topic for today, is heart disease among women. As I was reading about heart disease among women, I was really surprised when I saw the statistics for heart disease among women. 46,000 women died from heart disease in 2017. And heart disease is the leading cause of death for women in the United States. And I did not know that. So today, Mrs. Johnson is going to give us some information, much needed information on heart disease among women. And if this show is not, if we run out of time for this show, we will continue it next week. Now, Mrs. Johnson, would you tell us the function of the heart?
Okay. The function of the heart, and the importance of knowing the function of the heart, is that we understand where these symptoms come from. If you don't have an understanding of how your body works, we tend not to pay attention to our symptoms. So the function of the heart, first of all, the heart is a hollow muscular organ. Inside the heart, there are different valves to keep the blood flow through the heart moving in the same direction. Those things are very important, but understand that the heart is a muscle. It's a muscular organ, okay? The heart pumps blood with oxygen and nutrients to all organs and cells throughout the body via the arteries. Okay, we've all heard of the arteries. You have arteries that surround your heart and arteries that lead away from your heart, which is carrying the oxygenated and nutrient-laden blood throughout the body. Every cell in our body needs nutrients and oxygen to function properly. The heart must function adequately to supply blood to all the parts of the body. Now, whenever the heart is not pumping effectively or the heart muscle is not getting enough oxygen, the whole body is affected. In other words, we become very ill. This is known as heart disease. Okay, what is heart disease? Heart disease may consist of several different types of heart conditions. Number one, If your heart is beating irregularly, we call that a dysrhythmia or an arrhythmia. That means that the heart is not beating on time. You may be, some people feel like their heart is skipping a beat. Okay, that's one thing. Sometimes your heart will just start beating just excessively, too fast, even sometimes too slow. Those are known as dysrhythmias. When the heart is not beating on time, it can affect your whole body. That's one. Number two, another type of heart disease is valvular disease. And this is where the valves inside the heart are not allowing the blood to flow in one direction. Okay, those valves can become injured and diseased, and they don't work properly. All right, the third type of heart disease is heart failure. And this is when the heart becomes weakened. One of the major things that causes the heart to become weakened as a pump is high blood pressure over a period of time. Several years, when people have high blood pressure, several years go by and they're not paying attention to it and not having it treated or not taking the medication like they should, it can actually weaken the heart. Okay, and other diseases can cause the heart to be weakened and cause heart failure. But the fourth type of heart disease is known as coronary artery disease. This is what we want to key in on today. Coronary artery disease is the worst type of heart disease and the most common type of heart disease. So that's what we want to talk about and learn about coronary artery disease and what it is. Now, coronary artery disease, when it is when it has gone through the stages and it's gotten to its worst point, it can actually cause a heart attack. And more often than not, it does lead to a heart attack. And what is a heart attack? Okay, we know what heart disease is. That's when something is wrong with your heart. But what is an actual heart attack? A heart attack is when the heart pump itself is not receiving enough oxygen. So that means something is slowing down the rate that the heart can receive its oxygen so that it has energy to pump. Okay? This happens when the coronary arteries become clogged with fatty substances and cholesterol, impeding blood flow to the heart muscle. So remember I said the coronary arteries are little arteries that surround the heart and supply the heart with oxygen. So if something blocks those little delicate little coronary arteries, then the heart's not going to be able to work properly because it simply isn't getting enough oxygen. Without an oxygen supply, pain occurs because that's what chest pain is all about. It's a lack of oxygen to the heart and it causes severe pain. And the cells in the heart, without their oxygen supply for a few minutes, can die. Okay, so that's the importance of coronary artery disease and heart disease.
And if the heart is not working, then the whole body is not working.
Absolutely.
Because that's right. the mainstream of the body.
Right. And one thing, knowing about the function of the heart, knowing what heart disease is, knowing what coronary artery disease is, it's very important, especially for women, because it is a little bit different. But the good news is that if you know the symptoms and you know what you think is going on in your body, if you know you are at risk for heart disease, the good news is that if you get help quick enough, you can save your heart and save your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, are the signs and symptoms of heart disease in women the same as it would be for men? Or what is the difference?
Okay, there are significant differences between symptoms of heart disease among men and women. Men tend to specifically describe symptoms of a heart attack or even heart disease as chest pain. And chest pain could mean a number of things. Pain to different people means different things, mm-hmm. okay? But discomfort is the word that I like to use. It's chest discomfort, because some people may call squeezing of the chest mm-hmm. just feels like somebody tightly squeezing your chest, and another person may call it pain. So we have different names. So we need to know every symptom. We need to know every symptom. But in men, it typically is pain in the center of the chest. They may have some pain radiating or going up to the jaw, and they typically have pain that goes down the left arm. Okay, so any type of chest pain, and we'll get into that in a minute, the different types of symptoms, but men typically have that. Women who have heart attacks may not even have chest pain. Mm-hmm. They may not have chest pain. Their symptoms are significantly different in that women may have nausea, fatigue, pain in the jaw, or feel like you have a toothache. Women can feel short of breath and feel just extremely tired, which is the fatigue. So those are some of the symptoms experienced by women. And those symptoms, anybody can have those symptoms.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can have those symptoms. So how would you know that it's something to do with your heart?
Right.
When you feel seriously tired, let's just say you're lying in the bed, reading a book or looking at television, lying on the couch, and you suddenly just feel really, really tired. Like you just don't have any energy. Women tend to ignore those symptoms because, you know, they figure, okay, all week I've been cooking for everyone. I've been going to my job. I've been taking care of my grandkids. Women have a lot to do. And oftentimes we do feel tired.
Right.
But fatigue and tiredness just out of the blue suddenly, and it gives you a funny feeling like, hey, wait a minute, something is wrong. When you get that feeling, follow your gut feeling. Don't just sit there and say, well, oh, yeah, I'm just extra tired because it's Christmas time. Okay? Always remember, fatigue and excessive tiredness may be a sign, and is often a sign, of heart disease or even the beginning of a heart attack in women. So that's very important for women to know. That's one of the symptoms. And in men, they don't typically describe fatigue or tiredness as a symptom.
Well,
so it is important.
How long should the fatigue last? But you said it's sudden.
It can be sudden, and that's very important too. It can be sudden, or it can be building up over several days. You just know it's a tired that you've never felt before.
Mm-hmm.
It feels different. It feels funny. Okay? That's your clue right there. It's tired, like all of us have had tiredness. Most of us are tired every day, especially after work, you know.
You're right.
But it's a tiredness that makes you think something. It makes you, it's an uneasy type of tiredness. And women ignore it. As I said, stated earlier, women just ignore it. But now that you know, if you feel that, if you feel like you've been getting progressively tired over a few days, or just suddenly you just feel just abnormally tired, You need to call for help, okay? You probably need to call your doctor, or if it's really bad and it feels like it's causing some other symptoms, which we will talk about in a minute too, you need to call 911, okay? Don't drive yourself anywhere, all right? You need to call 911, because if you get in your car and start driving to the clinic or the emergency room, something might happen to you on the way. Okay, so you don't want that to happen. So the best thing to do is get an ambulance. Call 911. They can get you there. They can put oxygen on you on the way. They can take care of you on your way to the hospital. So that's what you would need to do if you should have such symptoms.
That's an eye opener. And most of us as women, we'll usually we'll say, well, we can wait until tomorrow, or I can wait until tomorrow to go to take care of this. But you're saying, do not wait.
Do not wait. Do not wait. Because if it is in fact a heart attack, then every minute, every second that you wait, your heart muscles, cells are dying. And that means that your heart can eventually stop beating altogether. Okay? So you don't want that. So just go ahead. Think of time. Always think of time. Because most women will say, well, I'll just wait till my husband gets home. You know, we all say that because, of course, we want to see what he's going to say. We want him to take us to the hospital or, you know. But that's what 911 is for. Okay? So think of 911 saves your life. Okay, so that's it.
I tell you that this is a real eye opener for me. Now, excuse me, how preventable is heart disease?
Okay, heart disease for women is preventable. It actually is preventable. But having said that, let me talk to you about two things: risk factors that you can control and risk factors that you cannot control. It's very important for women to understand that. Okay, what is a risk factor? A risk factor is something that you have about you in your body or something that you do that can put you more at risk of having a heart attack, right? Like one of them is smoking. Smoking definitely can put you at risk for having a heart attack, okay? But let's look at risk factors first. Okay, risk factors that you cannot change, number one is age. You cannot change your age, okay? And the significance of that is that the older you get, the more at risk you are for having a heart attack. The older you get, the more at risk you are. So an 80-year-old woman is more at risk of having a heart attack ordinarily, just because of age, than a 40 or 45-year-old woman. Okay? So that's something that you have no control of. You have no control. You can't stop yourself from getting older. But right. As you get older, you're more at risk. Another risk factor that you cannot control is your race. Some races are more prone to heart disease than others. Okay, for instance, African American men are more prone to high blood pressure than any other race. Okay, so race plays a factor in heart disease. And there are many things that African Americans are at risk for that other races perhaps may not be. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's another thing that you can't change. You can't change your race. Okay, so you can't change that. But it's good to know that. It's good to have that information.
Absolutely.
Okay, and let's see. Another thing that you cannot change. Well, those are two important things. And another thing is genetics. Genetics. If you have a person in your family, like a blood relative, like your mom or your dad or your mom's sister or your dad's brother or a close relative like that, that died of a heart attack, okay? Because we know that sometimes genetics plays a role. Like, you know how people say it runs in your family?
Yes.
Okay, heart disease can run in your family, all right? So that's important to know. And the reason why those uncontrollable risk factors are good to know is that you can take steps to do things to prevent yourself from getting the other risk factors that you can control. The controllable risk factors are high blood pressure. If you have high blood pressure, you're more at risk for having a heart attack, okay? Because high blood pressure puts a lot of pressure on your heart, right? Okay, without going into all the pathophysiological detail, when you have high blood pressure, it's wearing down your heart, right? Okay, so that's something that you can change, right? It also has genetic factors, but once you find out that you have high blood pressure, you can take the medicine, you can have your blood pressure checked every day, get someone to teach you how to check your blood pressure every day to make sure it's not going up too high, make sure it's staying steadily within the normal range, and take your medicine as prescribed. And don't stop taking it because you feel okay, all right? You have to take it, and you have to take it every day. So that knocks out that risk factor, okay? Another risk factor is smoking, which I mentioned earlier. Smoking, over a period of time, destroys our arteries. Remember how important the arteries are. They carry oxygen to the heart and to all the organs in the body and all the cells in the body. So if you're destroying your arteries by smoking, then you're putting yourself at risk for a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Another risk factor is being overweight. Being overweight means that you have a lot of fat in your body. You have an excessive amount of fat. And where does that fat go when you have it besides sitting in your stomach and making you look like a big round towel? That fat builds that fat builds up in your arteries. Wow. That fat also builds up in your arteries. So that makes your arteries smaller. So the heart is having to squeeze really hard to push that blood through all of that fat that is accumulated inside your arteries. Okay, so that's what overweight does. That's what overweight does to people. It impedes blood flow through the arteries, especially the coronary arteries. Remember we talked about coronary artery disease?
Right.
Well, if the coronary arteries clog up with plaque and fat and fatty substances, then the actual heart muscle is going to die because it's not going to get its blood supply.
Yeah.
Right. Okay? So that's overweight. So if you can get your weight down and do things, and we'll talk about how we'll do that later, but that's one of the things. So we can knock that out. Okay? And then diabetes, having high blood sugar. If it runs in your family, there's a genetic component to it. So if you know your mom and dad had high blood sugar or diabetes, you know you need to go and get that checked so you can get on medication to control that. And it's very controllable, okay? So diabetes is a risk factor. Stress. Raise your hand if you think you have stress. Right. Okay, that's everybody, right?
Everybody.
So stress, and especially among women, they stress out a lot. They take on everybody. They want to help everybody and take care of everybody. And so women's stress levels are really, really high. Men have high stress levels too, of course, but we're talking about women and heart disease today. So think about all the stress you're under. And there are ways to get rid of stress, not just medication, but there are things like meditation, yoga. There are many things that you can do. And then there are little classes that you can take to help you control stress, to slow yourself down and to breathe and those kinds of things to help control stress. And those things are very important. So if you have high stress levels, that is a risk factor for heart disease and heart attack. Okay, and last but not least, there are many, many risk factors, but I'm just naming a few here, the most common ones. An unhealthy diet. Okay, let me talk about an unhealthy diet. What I mean by an unhealthy diet is eating foods that contain high levels of things, substances that are not good for our bodies, such as fried foods. Fried foods are fried in oil. What is oil? Fat.
Fat.
When we eat it, where does the fat go? There you go. In the arteries.
In the arteries.
Plugging up the arteries. So it makes it hard for your heart to do what it has to do. Okay, so fried foods are no-no. We have to learn other ways of making foods taste really, really tasty without frying them in fat, okay? And we have to learn that, and we have to make ourselves know that if that's how your mom and dad cooked for you when you were a kid, then that's all you know, you know. And now we know better. Now we know better. And if you know better, how does it go? If you know better, you do better.
Yeah,
right.
Do better.
Okay? So speaking about unhealthy eating or unhealthy diet, as I call it, unhealthy eating can lead to high blood pressure. Remember, we said that was one of the risk factors. Unhealthy eating can lead to overweight. Remember, that was another risk factor. Unhealthy eating can lead to diabetes. So high blood pressure, overweight, and diabetes can be fixed if we learn how to eat properly and eat the right kinds of foods, okay? And there's nothing wrong with eating some fried chicken every once in a while, but if you're going to eat it every day, that's a no-no, okay? So those are some of the risk factors that we have, and all of us know about those risk factors, but we just never thought, this is going to hurt me. People don't think about that, especially
right.
Women. When we get home from work, we're starving, and we just want to sit down and put our feet up, kick those shoes off, and
stop by Popeyes and get some chicken and eat it when you get home.
Right. Absolutely. That's what we like to do. But now that we know how bad that can be for us, we want to like kind of think of something different that we might want to get. Something that's not fried, things that are not excessively sweet. You know, we all like cakes, and that's one of my bad things is cakes and cookies. I love it, but I've had to stop eating that. Once in a while I can eat it, but it's not an every week thing. So those are some of the things that we need to think of. And the question was, is heart disease preventable? Absolutely. Yes, it is preventable. Yes.
Oh my goodness. That takes all of the fun out of eating.
I know. But you know, the thing about that, and that's what everybody says, like eating is not enjoyable anymore. But you know what? You can train your brain
to
know that you're eating healthy. And a lot of times when I've sat down and eaten a healthy meal, you know, knowing that everything in that meal was good for me, you know, that it was healthy, no fried foods, not a lot of carbohydrates, like a lot of rice and mashed potatoes, those things turn into sugar when they're broken down in the body, see? And when I can sit down and eat a nice, healthy meal, I feel better. I feel better about myself. And if I did it just now, I could do it again tomorrow and the next day. You make yourself feel better knowing you are doing better. So that's one of the things that has helped me to keep myself in check is my brain. You start to train your brain that this is the right thing to do. And you get used to it. So what you used to call fun as far as eating, what you used to call fun, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
Once you train your brain in the right things to eat.
Yeah, and I imagine you can become disciplined, you know, once you get it into your head that it's a matter of life and death. You know, if you
right.
want to live longer, then you do the things that's going to help you live healthy and, you know, live longer.
Right. So if you are a person that has any of those risk factors that I just mentioned, then you need to start working on them.
Mm-hmm.
You can take one at a time. You don't have to say, oh my gosh, I have high blood pressure, I smoke, I'm overweight, and I have stress, and I eat unhealthy, and I have diabetes. Okay, what if you have all of them?
And some people do.
And some people do. Many, many people do.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is work on one thing at a time. One thing at a time. I'm going to work on my high blood pressure. Then I'm going to make sure I start watching my weight. I'm eating less. I'm eating smaller portions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get a big plate to put your food on. Get a little bitty plate to put your food on. Okay? That will help. Yep.
God knew us a long time ago. He loved us enough to allow us to be born. He loved us enough to allow Jesus to come. Jesus loved us enough to die for us. It would be a